Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to CPFL Energia first quarter 2009 earnings results conference call. Today, we have here with us the executives, Wilson Ferreira Jr., CEO of CPFL Energia, and Mr. José Antonio de Almeida Filippo, Financial Vice President and Head of Investor Relations, as well as other officers of the company. This call is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.cpfl.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find a banner to download this presentation. We inform that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star O for an operator. It is important to mention that this conference call is being recorded. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events, and thus depend on circumstances which may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the future results of CPFL Energia and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., you may proceed.
Good morning to all investors, analysts. Welcome to this earnings results when we're going to share with you the earnings results of our first quarter of 2009. We have a presentation. I will try to follow it. I'm going to move to the highlights on page two. We have the results for this quarter. We're reporting a net revenue of 2.392 million, or 2.3 billion. There was a drop of 3.7%. The EBITDA for the first quarter reaching 359 reais, corresponding to a 2% increase vis-à-vis the results reported for the first quarter of 2008. Finally, a net income of 283 million reais, a 6.5% increase relative to the 265 million reais in the first quarter of last year. I would like to highlight that these results are due to the 1.8% growth in sales in the captive market, the market built by our distributors with the end consumers of these companies. We had an extraordinary performance in the free market, 11.7% increase in sales. We're going to be detailing that later on. A total sales to consumers of 3.6% increase through our distribution companies and the commercialization company. Another highlight is that we completed the corporate restructuring of CPFL Jaguariúna, a vehicle that we had created to incorporate ICMS assets. This was completed in the end of 2008. Now these assets are linked now to CPFL Energia. It is also important to highlight not only the completion of 14 de Julho in the end of the year, but also the immediate approval of commercialization of carbon credits, generating revenue of 1 million euros per year this year. Another relevant fact in this quarter, in the beginning of April, was the announcement of the definitive indices for the second periodic tariff revision cycle for CPFL Paulista and RGE in April. We had already done that in the end of January and beginning of February. The completion of this process for Santa Cruz, Mococa, Jaguari, Leste Paulista, and Sul Paulista. Another highlight in the beginning of April, the issuance of promissory notes by our distribution companies, CPFL Paulista, Sul Paulista, Leste Paulista, Jaguari, as well as RGE and CPFL Geração. This corresponds to the opening of the credit market for CPFL Energy Operations, totaling 495 million. So it's good news, and we are going to give you more details about the issuance of these promissory notes at the end of this presentation. Finally, an issue that is interesting for the analysts. I think you are all concerned about delinquency rates. I am going to give you more details on that. The delinquency rates remained unchanged. There were notably reductions at RGE and CPFL Santa Cruz in Rio Grande do Sul state. So it's a quarter when we had improvement in our results, although due to a number of non-recurring events occurring both last year and this year, due to the finalization of the tariff review process, we believe that on page 3 we should disclose, as we normally do, these results comparing recurring values. We can see here on the left corner what are the so-called non-recurring events. You will remember that last year we had the seasonality effects occurring with Piratininga. Together with the CPFL Brazil, we provisioned 164 million of the EBITDA accounting, corresponding to 112 of the net income. In the quarter, in the first quarter of 08, energy purchased, there was a delayed operation for Castro Alves hydropower plant. They had to pay higher values for energy, around 500 for megawatt hour, with a negative effect of 19 of the EBITDA and 13 of net income. But I would like to remind you that Castro Alves HPP has started operations and has been profitable since then. We also had a recalculation of tariff review with CPFL Paulista and RGE. We had a negative 17 million of EBITDA and negative 11 million of net income in this quarter. And it was a recalculation in the 2009 annual tariff adjustment, what we call IRT, of CPFL Paulista and RGE, 38 million EBITDA and 26 million of net income. Finally, these values are still temporary. There are some items on our agenda, but they have been provisioned for. And we also had the reversal of doubtful accounts or possible losses, 22 million in the EBITDA, 26 million in net income. If we look on the right-hand corner, the right corner, we have two comparisons. We can see the seasonality effects. They occurred in only one quarter, but they refer to operations for the whole year. So we thought it was adequate to have a gross comparison of the first quarters. We see here on the left, we see recurring values, a 4.9% decrease in net revenue, totaling 2.4 million, a decrease in EBITDA of 16.5%, totaling 692 million. It's almost the same as last year. What changes is the result of seasonality effects that we had last year, which would raise EBITDA to 829 million in the first quarter of 08. The same comparison we did for net income, 390 million last year. If these non-recurring events had not occurred, 293 million reals in the first quarter of 09. Minus 24.8%. But the seasonality effect applies to one quarter, but it affects the whole year. So I think that this would be adequate. In the last 12 months ending this quarter, we compare with the last 12 months ending in the first quarter of 08, and that would give us a 0.7% decrease in net revenue, 13.5% drop in the EBITDA, 2.2 billion 838, and we would have all the effect of the tariff review incorporated. I guess that would be a more applicable comparison when all of these processes have been complete. And finally, a drop in net income, 1,580 in the last 12 months, ending in the first quarter of last year, again, 1,295 in the last 12 months, ending in the first quarter of 2009. Philip is telling me that the first number of the net income is 9,526 instead of 5,526 as it is reported. So after this disclosure, I think it makes the life of analysts easier, as well as the life of investors. So we're going to move on and talk about our corporate structure. We are on page 4. I would like to highlight the restructuring that took place in CPFL Jaguariana. We see all the distribution assets aligned and linked directly to CPFL Energia. Without the vehicles of acquisition, CPFL Jaguariana. We see the same distribution into distribution, CPFL Planalto, and then the services company, CPFL Services, which was the old CMS services. And we also created another company for call center operations. On the right, we see the 6.93% direct share or stake in Lajeado HPP hydropower plant. With that, we completed the acquisition process of ICMS or CPFL Jaguariana. Now, let's move to page 5. To evaluate our results, let me give you some elements about energy consumption in the first quarter. And then let us talk about sales in each one of our operations. I think it's important to highlight that we're talking about a quarter which was positively influenced by an increase in sales in the residential and commercial segments. You can see here on average 8.7% increase for residential market and 6.6% for the commercial market. This is due both for the distribution companies in the southeast and in the south, due to effects that started last year, increasing employment, income, and credit and consumption. We can see an increase in total salaries of São Paulo, where 7 of our distribution companies are present, an 8% increase in total salaries in São Paulo, and a 5% increase in salaries in Rio Grande do Sul. A significant increase in the sales of furniture and household appliances because of the holiday season, with a 17% increase in São Paulo in the sales of furniture and home appliances, and a 10% increase in Rio Grande do Sul state, plus an 11% increase in retail sales in São Paulo and Rio Grande do Sul, 5% increase in retail sales. Significant values in the southeast, they're even influenced by slightly higher temperatures in the first quarter of 2009 in the region of Campinas, a 4.5% increase. In the region of Ribeirão Preto, 3.3%, and in the region of Sorocaba, 3.6%. This effect is not seen in Rio Grande do Sul. On the other hand, we had a good performance in the residential and commercial segments, and we are right in the peak of the crisis. But we can see the crisis in the industrial segment, which showed an 11.5% decrease in sales for captive and free markets alike. I'm going to give you the details about each one of these markets in the next slide. However, there was a 15% decrease in São Paulo industrial output. And we highlight the industries of electronic materials and communication equipment, a 60% decrease in industrial output. Metallurgy, minus 38%, machines and equipment, minus 34%, automotive, minus 26%, and chemicals, minus 21%. That's for the São Paulo industry. It is not what is happening with the consumers of distribution companies, as we're going to see later on. The Rio Grande do Sul industry had a decrease of 17%, highlights to metallurgy, minus 45%, automotive industry, minus 30%, machines and equipment, minus 29%, shoes and leather goods, minus 26%, and chemicals, minus 25%. I point that out because, as a whole, you know, distribution companies, because of their service areas, might capture different results. This is what's happening, and I'm going to give you more on that later. We're moving to slide 6, where we can see an increase in total energy sales. When we talk about that, we are talking about sales built to end consumers. The captive market of distribution companies, which showed a 1.8% increase, and the free market, an 11.7% growth. Talking about the captive market, we are talking about consumers which are billed directly by distribution companies in their concession areas. I've just mentioned that to you. Residential segment growing 8.7% and commercial segment growing 6.6%. Industry served directly by the distribution companies showed a 7.9% decrease. It is important to highlight we're talking about smaller industries. The larger ones, greater than 3 megawatts, most of them are already in the free market. We can see their behavior in the bottom part of the slide where we see concession area sales. We can see that the TASD tariff applied for these free consumers, the volume of energy sold showed a 14.7% drop. That's why I said in the previous slide that the industrial segment would have had an 11.5% decrease. It corresponds to a mix of industry served by distribution companies with a 7.9% decrease and served by generation companies showing a 14.7% decrease. Our operations in the free market could expect a greater decrease there. It is seen in service to free consumers, but that is offset by a successful event that we had, our participation in the so-called adjustment auction sales that will take place through 2009. Here we only see the effect of the first month when the sales were made, the month of March. But that was enough to show an 11.7% sales increase overall, offsetting that drop in sales to free consumers with a sales increase of 11.7. Total of 2,329. When we had our sales in the free market to these consumers and sales in the captive market of distribution companies, we have total sales with the 3.6%, which I mentioned, which is the part of the slide on the upper left-hand corner. In green, we see in dark green the market that we have just detailed, in light green the market of free consumers who benefit from the distribution networks of our distribution companies, and we see what happened in the market of our distribution companies. There was a 2.2% decrease, reaching 11,790 gigawatt hour. A recurring news when we share this data is that the south region, as we can see on the right bottom corner, showed a decrease. RTE showed a 2.3% decrease, lower than the region as a whole. The same thing happening in the southeast. It was a 5.2% decrease for the southeastern region in this quarter, while the seven distribution companies of CPFL Group showed a 2.1% decrease, again, less than the drop for the whole region. And for Brazil, there was a decrease in energy sales of 3.1%, and here we see the eight distribution companies of the group showing a minus 2.2%. In other words, a decrease of 2.2%. I think these are the details of energy sales for the first quarter. I guess it's important that you have this outlook. We have to see what's happening in terms of the load. Now, we are on slide 7. The load is something that we check in our operation centers. Those are the demand seen during the month by our distribution companies. It is the same type of information that is managed by INS and all the planning companies, particularly app. So these are must information. They will be built 1 month later. But we try to give you here in the upper graph, a colorful graph in dark blue, we see the behavior of the low devolution in the southeast, in red, south region, and in green, Brazil, the demand seen for the whole system nationwide. And in the light blue diamonds, we see the behavior in our concession areas of CPFL Energia distribution companies. Well, we can see that the crisis was more marked in December. We see a 5.5% decrease in the southeast, 0.4% in the minus 0.4% in the south, and a minus 3.6% for Brazil. We see this was markedly influenced by the southeastern region, where we have more operations. But then we see the results picking up again. In January, we see lower drop. Brazil as a whole is performing better, and we see a lower reduction for the group. In February, we're picking up. We are on the positive side again, slightly in the southeast, more pronounced in the southeast. In Brazil as a whole, with a 0.4%, and for our group, minus 0.5. And in March, we agreed that it's picking up strongly the southeast with 1.4, extraordinary recovery for the southern region with 4.5%, and Brazil as a whole with 2.2%. An important piece of data to mention is the load evolution for CPFL Energia, with a 2.7% increase, starting with about 6,000 average megawatts to 6,315 average megawatts in March of this year. It increased from 6,149 average megawatts. Now, we have some uncertainty in the contracted demand. Many analysts have asked about the behavior of consumers during the crisis, and as you can see, consumers show an unclear behavior, but this is not impacting the company. To give you some gross figures, we have something like 25,000 consumers that are seen in the so-called Group A, consumers that pay for the demand, and we had here about 40 consumers. Let me see how many there were. 44 customers asked to reduce the demand, but 86 are requesting an increase in demand. Those that requested to reduce had greater reductions, 1.28%, but those 86 that requested to increase the demand had a 1.20% increase in demand. So the total variation of our group would be about 5 megawatts, 0.08%, which is irrelevant. The group continues to serve a good energy demand with a slight variation in spite of the crisis. I'm going to show later on the crisis impacts different segments of the economy. So in slide 8, I give you the situation for the automotive industry. We have done that in January and February, and I show you here the behavior for the month of March. As we can see in the chart, the peak of the crisis for the automotive industry happened in December, minus 46%. And when we go to March, we see this drop down to 18%. And I want to make this clear. This is an effect of the measures adopted by the government, particularly tax reductions. And we can see that in April, we see a yellow flag. We have a 3% decrease. I'd like to remind you that in April, we had two holidays, national holidays, and this for the industrial sector can be impacting. If a month has 30 days, every day will mean, in terms of consumption, something like 3%. So this drop was, well, we'll have to wait for May to confirm that, but this decrease is probably due to national holidays rather than due to a reduction in the economic activity. And this happened in the automotive industry, 23%. In metallurgy, we see a 37% drop in the peak of the crisis, and 25 in March, 20 in April. These industries typically have a continuous behavior. This is more positive evidence. And when we move to slide 9, we see the behavior of the food, beverages industry and pulp and paper. Recovery, I guess, becomes very evident. They were doing well at the peak of the crisis with a plus 1%. It was a seasonality effect for these industries, but they were positive. They continued positive in the month of March, and in the month of April, there was a 3% drop. It can be linked, as I mentioned, to the national holiday. When we go to pulp and paper, they had a negative behavior in December, minus 11%. It became positive in March and less positive in April. As I said, it's something that we should keep in mind, but there is a clear sign of recovery. In April, these signs are not that marked, but again, I think that this is due to the national holidays that we had, two national holidays in the month of April. I've just been given a piece of information that, which is relevant, which confirms my suspicions that I shared with you in the industrial sector. Well, if we have a holiday, the industrial sector might be impacted. And it is the opposite for the residential and commercial segments that consume more during that period. And that indeed happens. The residential sector growing in April against April of 2000. April 09 against April 08, growing 8.9%. And the commercial sector growing 10.2%. So this is a positive data. It shows that holidays can be very good for some and not so good for others. So I'm going to give you a brief analysis of these results of recurring EBITDA and recurring net income. We have that on page 10. I'd like to remind you that we were reporting for the first quarter of 08 an EBITDA of recurring EBITDA of 646 million and 183. The so-called non-recurring effect, particularly seasonality effects and provisions made back then, plus the effect of the delay in Castro Alves operation. So an EBITDA excluding non-recurring effects of 829 million. And we, as I showed you before in slide 3, we would have a drop of 16.5% to 692 million. Which is the recurring EBITDA for this quarter. Now, why did we have this decrease? Well, firstly, because there was a decrease in the net income. What determines this reduction is the definitive results of the tariff review of distribution companies. Overall, they have an average effect of an 11% reduction in the tariff. And that is offset by tariff adjustments, annual tariff adjustments. Piratininga in October 08 had the first annual tariff readjustment with a plus 10.92%. Then we had here the SHP, Centrais Elétricas SPPs, plus 9.1%, and Serra da Mesa HPP in January 09, 9.5%. And there was a 3.6% increase in energy sales. The average reduction of the tariffs prevailed over the other improvements, and that is why we have a 3.7% decrease. And now we are going to evaluate the costs. There was a 2.3% increase in the costs, the energy costs and charges. 31 million. Good deal of that due to regulatory requirements and tariff adjustments. And there was an increase in operating costs and expenses. There was a 5% increase in operating costs and expenses, but when we discard the effects of Castroves and 14 de Julio, which have costs incurred in this quarter and not in the previous quarter of last year, because at least they were not fully operational. And the 5 million reversal in the CPF Paulista allowance for losses. So the net effect, we have also the net effect, 1.7% increase in personnel, materials, third-party services and others, of only 5% or 1.7%. Against energy PM inflation rate of 6.3% and IPCA inflation rate of 5.6% in the period. These are the results of greater productivity in our operations, which we have seen in all quarters, and that is seen again this quarter. We have the non-recurring effect of 2009, the finalization of the tariff review for the distribution companies. They reported a bid of 659 reals.
On slide 11, now we have the same report for net income. So the effects reported in 2008, 266 million real, and it would be recurring, excluding 390 as, and on top of that, that's what we are reporting variation. First, EBITDA 137 that we've just detailed, followed by two events, positive events. First, financial results, an improvement of 5.9%. The net is a reduction in financial expenses at 11, coming from the drop in CDI. And on the other hand, there is a reduction, 8.4%, in financial expenses of 16 million, with a positive impact by mark-to-market, according to the new rules. Of 11,638 law. And then an increase in charges and debts, 11 million reais. And now on the one hand, we highlight financing of 14 de Julio, which became operational, and then a release from BNDES for distributing companies. So that's a positive result, slightly positive, but still significant. And we'll get into details later on. And the financial perspective for the company is better than we had early this year, particularly thanks to the relevant interest of CDE, participation of CDI in the group's financing. And due to these comparisons, we also had a reduction in income tax and social contribution, 56 million comparing quarters, coming to the drop in EBITDA naturally. And private funds amortization as detailed in our report for 2008. Coming from the actuar evaluation on pension plans. And therefore, there is a 24.8% drop in the recurring values. Summed to the non-recurring effects of the first quarter of tariff review that were negative at 10 million, reaching a reported income of 283, which compared to the same figure last year, had a 6.5% growth. So, concluding the tariff review process and after the start-up of Castro Alves and 14 de Julio, so what about our stake in the operating income of generation, distribution, and commercialization? This can be on slide 12. Now, after the second cycle, distribution is 64% of the group's EBITDA. We also have an increased relevant participation of generation, 27%, and commercialization, 9%. So we are better balanced, 36%, not related to distribution, and 64% to distribution only. And after this tariff review process, which naturally reduces the tariff, and now we are at the lower level. And now we have a margin, a recurring EBITDA margin of 30% over this quarter. And from then on, we'll be trying to improve our results. Now, slide 13, this is a breakdown of the tariff review process on a final basis. Or more didactically, we try to include parcels A and B. A for polyester and RGE, which is a pass-through with some variation, especially due to the foreign exchange variation. But objectively, we have to consider parcel B. This is where we have our manageable activity. And as a result of this process, for polyester, we only incorporated AP52, public hearing 52, that rule especially on benchmark companies, and variation is very little, 179, and for RGE is slightly higher, 40 million. But because RGE did not have a remuneration base, a final base, and now decided to have a 40 million reduction. So that's the reset of the review. And on the other hand, on the bottom, we have the effects recurring from parcel B investment. And in the net of the companies, we had 40 million lost. And if we use IGP-M minus factor X, that's something around 5% for polyester and 6% for RGE. And we are breaking these figures down with the parameters. An increase in parcel B of 100 million reais. We lost 41 in the review, and now we have additional 100 due to the readjustment applied over the last month of April for these concessionaires. So this is a report on adjustments. For polyester, IGP-M was 627 minus 119 as foreign exchange, which is 5.08, and for RGE, the same IGP-M, 6.27 minus 0.18, which is the total foreign exchange factor, or 6.09. So these are the amounts, and the remaining values, well, for 21%, that's the total for polyester, and almost 19 for RGE. These are the financial components coming from the fact that the company is financing consumers. Last year, for additional thermal plants or foreign exchange variation, as you can see, we have details on the left. Exchange to Itaipu was 175, and we had some variations. You could all follow it up. And foreign exchange was close to 240. So the company pays every 10 days Itaipu during the foreign exchange rate for the day. So it anticipated a set of values, and therefore we have these higher figures. In addition to investment or tariff adjustments for generation companies and for Itaipu, in addition to foreign exchange effect, we also had a real increase slightly higher than 8% in January. So now we close the tariff review assessment, and I mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, one highlight was the conclusion of the process of the spin-off CPFL Jaguariúna, showing that this process incorporated Perácio, Jaguariúna in February, and in March, we spun off the company, incorporating the parts on subsidiaries and receivables and liabilities not related to the parent company. That's why we have operations directly related to the holding company. We have seven assets, four distribution companies, and here we have the breakdown of the interests, and two companies related to energy commercialization and services, and one company in CPFL Jaguari. As a result, we have something around 7% or 6.93% in Lajeado plant. As a result, this is a reduction. We were authorized by ANEEL to have a capital reduction of 63 million. And then we could pay part of the payments when we acquire that company. And especially, we can have two events that are important. The reduction in capital improves the WACC of four distribution companies, 2.3 percentage or base points, and it fits to the capital structure aligned to the proposed by the regulating agency. So that's a benefit. And on the other hand, it also allowed to incorporate tax benefits, 48 million reais, coming from goodwill from these operations. And part of it, 2 million, used in the first quarter of 2009. Well, now I also mentioned in the beginning, as to delinquency, we had a concern. Well, analysts and investors were concerned, and we broke down what happened in our operations. On slide 15, we can see that delinquency in the group rose 1.46% from the net revenue for 1.49%, 0.03 base point increase. At the same time, delinquency and economic activity in the state of São Paulo increases from 7.6% in the first quarter of last year to 9.2%. And I think it shows why there is concern. And it's important to tell, well, what about our percentage delinquents? 0.03 base points, and the inventory was reduced 4.4%. In other words, we had 194 million reais in delinquency by the end of the first quarter of 2008, and now we have 186 million reais by the end of the first quarter of 2009. And why did that happen? In inventory or base points, it's the other way around, because we had a reduction in our net revenue, as you said before, due to a reduction in tariffs by the tariff review. However, it's important to highlight both a reduction, not so significant, but still 0.29 to 0.90 in Santa Cruz, and so a slight improvement in Jaguariúna. So this is related especially to strong performance in client B, with judicial agreements, increase in the number of delinquency cases, and this can be a driver, and anticipating delinquency with a daily monitoring of clients. And this allowed us to reduce our inventories and maintain the same percentage level of delinquency in the group. So this is working fine. Now, page 16. Conclusion of 14 de Julho planned. Here we have the slide showing the installed power, 65 megawatts. It is a 100 megawatt plant, and we invested 317 million reais. And this is 33 million reais. This is our revenue. So this plant has been concluded. The first plant started on, well, the second was in March 12, the first in December 25, and it was approved by the MDL, or the Clean Development Mechanism of the EU, and the registration of the carbon credit for 2009 to 2016. So 2 7-year periods. And we had 118,000 certificates of emission reduced per year, or something around 1 million euros per year. Okay, now moving to Foz do Chapecó plant on slide 17. We want to report the status. Notice that we started to build it in late 2006, December. Now in March 2009, we have 67% of the works concluded to start up in the first half of next year. Investment made 815 million reais by CPFL. And total investment from our partners, 1,328,000,000. This plant is very important, and CPFL has a 51% stake. And we are right on our schedule. Slide 18. Well, we have some photos of the development stage of CPFL Bioenergy plant. Baldim is the first plant. We have 43% of the works already performed up to April. And we started in late August last year. And we are about to have it concluded in March next year, generating supported energy of 24 average megawatts. And finally, Concluding our presentation, here we have an assessment on slide 19 of the performance, share performance. CPFL was 8.9% valuation compared to 9 Ibovespa 9.4 in the sector. In New York, 19 against 1.7 Dow Jones.
We can see the number of tradings are 1.7% Dow Jones, showing a 13.3% drop. An important highlight is the daily average volume number of trading for CPFL Energia. In the month of April, we reached 30 million reals of daily average volume, 18 million in Bovespa, 12 million in New York and NYSE, an average business volume, which is 345, which is quite high. We finished the issuance of 495 million reals in promissory notes. We completed it in the end of last year, and 180-day operation for CPFL Paulista Sul, Paulista Leste, which are the main borrowers. The total offering value, 495 million reais. We had 118% remuneration year on year of interbank deposit rate, and we had a fourfold demand for that offering. We had a full 100% issuance absorbed by the market. CPFL was delighted to see we were among the first to be profitable. On page 21, we see here the details of our adjusted net debt. 6,490,000,000. We have to add to that debt the contract, the finance contract with our private pension fund, 529 million, which we total a net of 7,019,000,000. At the end of the quarter, we had cash and cash equivalents amounting to 869 million, regulatory assets 556, which gives us an adjusted net debt of 5,595,000,000, corresponding to a 1% decrease compared to the value reported in the last quarter of 2008. In the bottom part of the slide, we see the behavior of this debt, the adjusted net debt over EBITDA. There was a slight drop due to the slight decrease of the debt. It drops to 1.98. And here we include financing of the Foz de Chapecó plant, which does not add to the EBITDA. We would have an adjusted net debt over EBITDA of 1.77. Good news to us, due to the reduction in CDI costs and SELIC interest rates, as seen on page 22, slide 22. We see the nominal cost of our debt dropping from 13.5%, and in terms of real cost, 7.4%. So the CDI decrease benefits us, as we can see in the bottom part. The CDI accounts for 57% of our debt breakdown. In terms of indexing, second TJO interest rates in the long term in IGP. IGP plus 6, 10%, totaling 10%. This maintains our capital structure balanced. Equity 49%, debt 51%. Well, these were the basic highlights that I would like to give you. Filippo, our financial vice president, is here with me, and together with other officers, we're here available for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting now the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. If you want to remove your question from the queue, press star two. Our first question comes from Mr. Felipe Leal from Merrill Lynch.
Good morning, Wilson. Good morning, everyone. My question is the following. It has to do with regulations. I would like to hear from you how you interpreted the recent comments made by ANEEL on potential changes in the methodology to adjust distribution, especially related to comparative tariffs between different regions and amortization and impact for the end consumer. Obviously, Felipe, as reported by the media, there was some concern. Every change has to be watched, carefully analyzed. But for personal reasons, I know the general manager very well. He's very experienced, qualified as far as distribution goes. He worked for SEBI for many years, and he's very experienced in that matter. Not to mention that he was very relevant at the ministry level and now at the agency. So this person is very much aware of the importance of the electric sector. However, we must admit that to consumers in general, sudden changes, well, they tend to complain about the 20% increase, and they pay no compliments to the drop to the 20% last year. So obviously, when you listen to, you know, with a bias, your understanding can be very well compromised. More specifically for CPFL tariff, recently announced at 21%, 1% only, 1.4% of the 21% have to do with what was readjusted in Parcel B. That's the total effect. The remaining 20% are related, first of all, to an increase in foreign exchange rate, which is out of control, and that's the reason why I created a graphic account. But the thing is, distribution companies had to support over this year, and more particularly, the last four months, they had to anticipate to consumers these values and therefore pay in at the dollar rate for the day, Itaipu. And there was no problem in the flow. We have been carefully following up discussions and, you know, our partners, countries, but this company has the cash very well up to date, because we cannot run any risks. And please know that it receives at the dollar rate for the day, and in January there was an 8% increase, as I said before. So obviously, what we showed consumers or passed on to consumers were, you know, incurred expenses, 20% of the 21, expenses made either with a generator chain with approved increases or due to the system, the particular system for Itaipu, and to consumers assured supply, because last year was a dry year and therefore it demanded, you know, we had to work on thermal power plants, and obviously there is a cost, and it was fully supplied by the distribution company and always packed to the CDI. I'm showing you a note that was 118% of CDI. So it is the same company that financed at 100% CDI. Now it got funds to make this available at 118%. So there was also a loss. So I believe this discussion has to be considered undoubtedly. But considering the topic as a whole, and not only restricted to increase at a particular moment, considering foreign exchange effect and also the effect of the dispatch. So we have to keep an eye on that. And please know that consumers, for 2 years, they have a 0.64% increase. That's what happens when you consider the drop last year and the increase this year. compared to IGP-M or IPCA above 10, so more than tenfold the value it had in the tariff, or almost 15 times as much. So actually there was a gain. And this gain, the only agent in the chain that contributed came from distribution companies. So if we know that the general manager is aware of the sector, the importance of the sector, and the importance of maintaining distribution companies so we can have daily investment, unlike what happens with generation and transmission, or the ability to manage the whole chain of delinquency. Delinquency is lower than we have in our balance sheet. So unlike the whole upstream chain, generation, well, delinquency is zero. So the whole delinquency in the sector has an impact on distributors. So this agent has to be preserved. And I share with the concern of the general manager vis-a-vis the potential variation in tariffs. So I believe there are elements or methods to do it properly. And please bear in mind that over the next years, there will be important reductions in CCC due to the elimination of isolated systems. And we also have important CDE reductions because we have the end of the universal character and pro-infa early measures. And now we have a repercussion on what happened to the automotive industry when there was a reduction in the tax burden, particularly vis-a-vis the excise tax. So, in my assessment, there are other possible elements, and they can be changed, so we can also give some tariff adjustments to consumers, more than distribution, but for now, it was the only benefit. If we consider Paulista only, an 18% reduction last year, 35% for Parcel B, and it was the only one that was reduced. And this year, it only recovered 5%, less than IGPM, because we had the exchange factor. So we have to be careful and being confident that ANEEL's board and professionals are qualified and aware of the structure of the sector, especially the flow, the capital flow in the sector, and they will be responsive to it so that we can get funding and make investment available and open the capital and have sustainable processes. And at the same time, it brought some tariff adjustments. For the first time in the country, we had, you know, a reduction applied to several consumers, and at the same time, we increased the universal nature. So I still believe the intelligence and competence of professionals, so we can think on a long-term basis, knowing there are other elements or several elements in the chain that can be changed in order to bring more balance among different regions. Thank you. Our next question comes from Sergio Tamashiro from Banco Itaú. My question has to do with acquisition opportunities. What is the company's focus? You mentioned EBITDA around 40%. So I'd like to know where you want to get. Do you want to go over 50%? Where is the focus of the company? Greenfield, generation, transmission, secondary assets, primary assets? Are you interested in other assets? You said that CENIC would be interested. So in case these assets are available, are you trying to move to the north and not only focus on the south? And how interested are you by Belo Monte, Tapajós, and other distribution companies? Thank you. Sergio, let me break that down into two parts. For the group strategy, the strategy is to keep on focusing as an energy distribution group. The distribution segment, two-thirds of our results, this segment will be the focus of our strategy. It is our understanding that this breakdown, 65% in regulated assets and 35% in assets that have already been regulated, were not so affected by regulations or discretionary periodic acts such as the tariff review. That would be an adequate breakdown, and we are happy with this. So the focus is organic growth in distribution and also by acquisition, naturally. Now, moving into the strategy for other segments, the generation activity, well, the focus is too on growth. We want to keep our share because we have a significant organic growth in distribution companies, and it can be expanded with acquisitions. So we are considering opportunities in generation. The first kind is large projects. So this was made public last year. We have a team involved in a previous assessment of all the documents available for Belo Monte, which is the next venture, probably by the end of this year. So we have a team very much focused so we can have elements to optimize projects, so we can, you know, have a benefit from the auction. And obviously, this project, in a way, or before the auction, we can have consortium, so we can also share that with other entrepreneurs, both public and private, the risk of this venture or large ventures. But we believe that's the case because due to our investment nature in renewable energy, we believe we have to be present with a relevant stake in the Belo Monte venture, and we are getting ourselves prepared and very determined. But we believe this is not enough. This is not the only way to expand in the energy sector. So we also consider very carefully the biomass segment, and we want to be leaders. We are the largest buyer, but we also want to be leaders in energy production. So investment in Baldwin plant is the first of a series of investment that we want to make public in the near future. And we also consider the park of small hydro plants. And in both cases, both for biomass and also small hydro plants, we want to leverage our action in the free market for commercialization, considering incentives on the TUSD reduction. So they complement our strategy for generation with large projects as Belo Monte and small projects, which together with our commercialization can bring benefits to us. I would like to share that we've been studying ever since last year wind power parks, and we believe that in this activity we should also have ventures in the future. So this is the basic structure of the company: organic growth and also acquisitions in distribution, keeping the group's profile as a distribution group, and also growth in generation with large ventures such as Belo Monte and qualified or different sources such as biomass and small hydro plants, and we can also use wind power. As for regionalization, obviously, every alternative of investment for growth, well, we would be considering. And obviously, we also have other assets included, so we would also be keeping an eye on the process, and it is our responsibility to give steps towards acquisition that can be assessed by investors and analysts as, you know, things that add value, so we can leverage our technical expertise, our organization expertise, in order to very soon create value because we have more efficient operations. So obviously, we'll be with our eyes open to evaluate these alternatives. But undoubtedly, we understand that the most benefits for distribution should be done or verified always on a regional basis. I'm not saying we cannot be more efficient in the north or northeast. It is possible, but we don't leverage all the capacities that can be expanded geographically. So, answering your question, if we had the same option, for instance, price per consumer or by acquired kilowatt per hour in the north, northeast, or south, we would give preference to the south under the same conditions. There is no doubt that a geographically closer operation or adjacent operation could add more value. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, would like to remind you that if you want to ask a question, press star 1.
We are closing now the question and answer session. Now I would like to give the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. for his final remarks. Well, again, I would like to thank you all for participating in this conference call. I would like to highlight that we're in a fortunate position. We have completed the tariff reviews. These are periodical processes. They are difficult. They involve a lot of negotiation. We complete this process happy and strong. And our prospects are aligned with Brazilian prospects. So we expect the Brazilian economy to pick up again. And we hope to emerge from the crisis with a good result in 2009. I think the figures that I shared with you for the market, I will try to make more in-depth evaluations with my team so that I can share these opinions with the analysts and investors. I think the evidence points to optimism. We've had important operations in the free market operations in the past auction. Now these will be relevant in our future results for this year in this activity. We are optimistic about the residential and commercial segments' behavior with important volumes in sales in the month of April, as I told you. And we believe that just like the pulp and paper and food industry, which are selling more than last year, other industries in time will behave in a similar fashion. And our company is very well positioned, regionally speaking, and thus we can derive some benefits from the market. We keep our eyes open regarding acquisition opportunities and future movements. Our focus, as I mentioned, remains in distribution. We have stakes to maintain our activities in generation and commercialization, and we are optimistic as a whole regarding the future. I would like again to thank you for your attention, and please join us next time. Thank you. Thank you. CPFL Energia conference call is coming to an end. We would like to thank you for your participation. Have a good day.